From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday morning. Hour number three is now underway on this rainy Thursday. Y'all be careful out there. It was pretty bad when I was out taking the kids to camp and daycare, but it appears to have deteriorated. So that's something to keep in mind. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Coming up in about a half hour, Chris Elliott, state senator from Josephine, our returning champion, making an appearance a day early today. I'll be out tomorrow for whatever reason. I guess I never had to think about it much, but tomorrow is Juneteenth, and the daycare and the summer camp are observed Juneteenth. They're closed. So I didn't really plan for this weeks in advance as I should have. So this will be a good little Father's Day excursion. I think we're going to, weather permitting, hit the, guess what, Atlanta Braves game on Friday and Saturday, and then come back and get into home in time for church. But just kind of give mommy a little rest from the chaos of having three little boys. But nonetheless, we'll be back on Monday, but you get Senator Elliott a day early for that reason. And you'll get Scott Buttram tomorrow, and I think you'll be in good hands there. I'm sure he'll have some good guests. I know Todd Stacey and the John Wall, who was the winner Tuesday night's Lieutenant Gubernatorial Republican primary runoff. Mike! Mike's got a lot to say here. Sorry, Mike, got a little behind on you here. I don't think the deal will last because Israel's bloodthirsty, wants to expand its territory. The deal is PO'd all sides, though. The Zionists like Shapiro screaming, and Levin is talking about Israel dropping nukes. The America First people are still mad because Trump was Israel's shill, and Israel is refusing to stop killing children in Lebanon with our support and munitions for their expansion goals. Goes on to add, also, it makes sense to invite Stevie Wonder to the Obama Library, since I'm pretty sure he was the architect of that turd of a building. It is a strange building. These presidential libraries, I don't know what the Bush Library looks like, but my understanding, it's traditional. The Democrats go with these very non-traditional structures. The Clinton Library, if I'm not mistaken, half of it's in the Arkansas River. This looks like, I don't know, like something out of Star Wars. With Obama's in the middle of Chicago there. I guess that's Grant Park. But they're very excited about it. All the dignitaries are there. It's as if Hollywood and Silicon Valley and all these different aspects of Democratic Party culture have convened on Chicago. Let's see here. Oh, and back to, well, no one's happy with the Iran-Israel deal. I mean, the Iran-U.S. deal, but the Israelis are mad. The Democrats stay bad. Somebody's got to be happy. I'm kind of happy. I didn't want this to go on anymore. If we're not paying in excess of $4 a gallon for gasoline, I don't think anybody would care. Do what you got to do. But there's a cost to this, and that's a cost domestically. And is that threat enough? Does the cost-benefit analysis get to that point of what we're doing when we are actually paying the price for it? Score over Reed. The elitists are always talking about how ignorant uneducated Alabamians are. But they want to take support of wannabe gamblers and wish we'll get rich quick cravings or believe the state will get rich quick from gambling and use the money to solve problems. Yes, you know, the state's not going to raise that much money off of gambling. The reason it did in other states is because it was new. It was different. Other states didn't have it. So people from Alabama would go to those states and spend those gambling dollars. They're not going to do that here. No one from Mississippi, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia are going to come to Alabama to play at the Wind Creek Casino and Resort. Well, I mean, maybe in Georgia. I don't know. They won't have it. But these other states have casino gambling within their borders. It's not going to be a big tourist destination. This is a very insular, naive way of thinking that Alabama could ever create its own Las Vegas or even Biloxi. Paul, we'll never know why we went into that one or why they thought surrender after the big bunker hit two, but it appears Iran had all the leverage. Iran had more leverage than we calculated. I've heard from people who say, well, they war gamed this, they war planned this, and they knew that the Strait of Hormuz would be a problem, and they knew that gas prices might even go up. But I think that's where it stopped. I think it's where the analysis stopped because it was thought, well, the American people can weather this. But they're not going to weather it in a political sense. They're going to vote against it. So you tell me, is the world in a better place in general, whatever your perspective of the world is, with a damaged, debilitated Iran? But Democrats control a Congress. Because that's the price you're paying here, I believe. Man, Anderson Cooper. Well, anyway. It's not Anderson Cooper. It was a guy who looks like him. I'm watching the Obama Library dedication. Let's keep going here. Tim, Jeff, you should be nicer to your texters. I don't want to have to get Dean Young after you again. I don't think Dean Young is even around anymore. And that didn't work out for him. And he did this thing. You bring up Dean Young, but he, like, during a debate when he was the last play or one of the last place finishers, and he was running for governor in 2022, I guess collected up beer cans on the side of the road to raise enough money for a qualifying fee. And then he did like a Dollar General version of Roy Moore and tried to throw himself in front of a train and call himself a martyr. And what he was trying to do was trying to make me the train. Pat, it's really not hard for the Sea of Gulf Shores or Orange Beach to simply say, no, we don't want that business here and deny permits or sales. It's really that easy. But who knows if, you know, somehow, some way, the state has the ability to overrule them. Would they do that? As you said, there's a bunch of money grubbing politicians who will see the dollar signs, knowing that the beaches are a tourist destination. And you have people who've been saving up money for this vacation, and they get down there, and all inhibitions are lowered. Well, just I every time I go to Biloxi, is that the way you want it to? You know, they got a homeless problem there. Now they've cleaned it up since. I I think the people of Alabama need to travel more before casinos are legalized. They realize how good we have it here without casinos. Some of the cities and casinos are dead. No life. It's indescribable. After the novelty wears off, then we will be left to cancer. I just left Kansas City and casually went to a casino. It was empty and depressing. Think of the cultural impact those monstrosities will have. Alabama needs to hang its hat on something other than casinos. The people who want gambling will not want the social stains that come along with it. Then the state will not be run by Alabamians anymore. That's guaranteed. I mean, you already have a place in Alabama where big gambling is in the fold. They shut down the general fund budget in the legislature after they lost in 2024, pro-gambling lawmakers. And we don't even have legal gambling in Alabama. And the story goes like this. Alpha wanted some money for the state ag center. They bought some property north of Birmingham, and this was in this general fund legislation. And you had a number of lawmakers blaming Alpha for gambling shortcomings in this legislature, not getting past the test vote in the Senate. And punitively, they shut down the general fund. Very angry about it. And then Senator Shelnut, Senator Elliott got wind of this, and they started shutting down House bills in the Senate right after that in response. And then I think it was Andy Witt or Chris Blackshear, whoever it was, like, relented. But the one thing, the constitutional mandate of the legislature is to pass the budgets. And pro-gambling lawmakers, angry about the outcome that the loss they suffered in that legislative session, shut down the general fund. You have actual gambling forces impacting legislative business. And we don't even have legal gambling in Alabama. Today's show brought to you by API and Alpha. I'm sorry if you think, being anti-gambling, you have to be able to take by or you have to be working in concert with like-minded people. DI texture. It's a very simplistic way you view the world. People can't. It's funny how people in this state, just because they're for or against something, must be getting paid for it. Because it's just that is so insincere and intellectually lazy. Jason, good morning, Jeff. Think our new governor will take his side on gambling debate, or has he already? I think he's on the pro gambling side. I think you're going to get gambling with Tuberville. Virginia has casinos all over the state. We don't hear anything there like your comparison. Why you think Mississippi gambling is so bad? Virginia doesn't have casinos all over the state. I lived in Virginia. There's not casinos all over Virginia. They put casinos. I know that in Maryland, they put it right at the state line. And West Virginia. Virginia doesn't have casinos. I don't like what you are pipe you're smoking out of this morning, unnamed texture. Things Jeff Poor likes, Auburn sports, baseball libraries, things he hates, everything not on that list. I hate backstrapped stackers text. You forgot to add that. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Hand me my hat. Excuse me, man, but where's the door? From Carolina down to Georgia. Smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama. Roll Tide, roll. Muddy water, Mississippi. Blessed Graceland whispers to me. Carry on, carry on.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. Do appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106. We're going to fly through some text here. I have filibustered enough on these. Chad writes, if you want gambling so bad, just go to Biloxi. These workarounds are silly, so people are losing money thinking they're playing a machine that with a random number generator when they're actually playing. More ways to rig an unregulated HHR machine. Leo, Obama's building is just flipping the bird to America. He and Michelle hate America. Be dark. Hell, Jeff, I gamble every day when I leave the yard. That from Be Dark. We were on our way to the beach, and the time we got to Atmore, and wife, of course, wanted to stop and get Starbucks. When I roll up through the drive-thru at the Wind Creek Starbucks, there is a sign that says, if you show them where you have spent some insane amount of money at the resort, they will comp your order. I just had to laugh. Butter knife, just move outside the city limits. Orange Beach has no control. Mike, the worst part of the Trump's Iran crap is how many of the younger people it blackpilled. The voters who gave Trump the plurality believed him when he said America first. He wouldn't be drugged into wars. The only campaign promise he's kept is closing the border. He hasn't deported even as many as Obama did, and the economy is no better than it was under Biden. I'll say this about you throw around America first a lot, but your definition of it, I don't know, is everyone else's definition. Derek says the definition of get off my lawn. Derek likes to cheat off people's paper and talk about the girls he's been with, I guess. Let's see, unnamed texture. The only thing them stupid idiots or the gender worry about is having transgender boys going into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms and see nothing wrong with it. I'm glad I moved away from up there 35 years ago. But they don't have, there's not casinos all over Virginia is what, there was a texter who said that. And I you know, that's just not accurate. If there's one, maybe it's on some tribal land. I don't know where it would be. But there's not casinos all over Virginia. Because the casino, if you want to play in a casino, you got to go to Maryland. You go to National Harbor. Or you go to Harper's Ferry in West Virginia. And man, that's just like that casino there. We went there. Last time I was at Harper's Ferry, I was working for Tucker Carlson, and we would do these kind of like company get-togethers where everybody would pile on a bus. There would be coolers of alcoholic adult beverages, and they took us to Harper's Ferry, Virginia. And they had an open bar, and they gave us some amount of money to go gamble with. And I was, drinking at the time. Pocketing the money and sitting at the open bar. But just thinking, man, this is what people in D.C. have to go to for, I guess, as a vice. Let's see here. No, the only thing Virginia has is the state lottery. Yeah, that's what I figured. That's what I thought. I still get up there from time to time. You got to fly into Reagan. You got to fly into Virginia. I lived in Virginia for almost 8 years altogether, in Falls Church and in Arlington. But it wasn't as if there were casinos on every street corner up there. It's a very liberal place and very progressive. It's got all the things you want if you are one of these, bleeding heart liberal types. Korean barbecue. Ethiopian restaurant. Everything you could imagine. It's a suburb of Washington, D.C. But it's progressive, but it's not chaotic, borderline third world like Washington, D.C., especially if you go into like Southwest. 251-343-0106. We'll get a break in here. Coming up here shortly, State Senator Chris Elliott. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. The finest pickup to ever play the
blues. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow inside. Praise.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on what's left of this Thursday morning. A couple of texts here. No, the only thing Virginia has is state lottery. I lived in Manassas and Fredericksburg back in 89 to 91. Squirrelverine, the neat thing about Northern Virginia now, and of course they have capitalized the Northern, is the metro has extended all the way out to Dulles, so one can get to the train and be in front of the Capitol in about an hour, if you're lucky. If you're lucky. I still do the metro when I'm up there. It's not quite as the trains are newer, but it wasn't as safe as it was when I lived up there. But that's a story for another time. Joining us now on the line, he's our returning champion today early. Thank him for making time for us this morning, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, how are you?
It's a little dreary today, but other than that, happy to be here.
Hey, thanks for making time. Well, we'll just ask you this right off. Any surprises, any reaction to what we saw Tuesday?
No, not really. I mean, I think the turnout was, you know, everybody's been talking about turnout just being abysmal overall. The weather certainly didn't help with that, but it's disappointing to see, you know, that low a turnout. And I'm not really sure what us as candidates are going to do or the party's going to do to try to increase that. We're going to have to give some serious thought to what we can do to energize and entertain the voters to get them to show up and vote. It's a challenge. Looking at the amount of money spent. Well, is really, really something.
Interrupt there. I'm sorry to interrupt you and talk over you, but we change it so that we have an abbreviated runoff time, and maybe that makes sense in some ways. It seems like the money's still getting spent regardless, but the I guess the idea there was tried to lower those costs and hurry this thing up, but it just seems like you got voters coming out of that with election fatigue.
Well, certainly the voters were fatigued, and there was so much money being spent that people did not want that runoff election period to be any longer than it had to be. And so I certainly did not hear from anybody saying, gosh, I wish we'd had more time to consider the choices here. That wasn't the case at all. And so folks were ready to get it over with, ready to get their mailboxes back and their, you know, text message, you know, quit getting text messages and just get on with it. And so we saw that. I saw a good victory, I thought, for Representative Francis Hulk Jones down in the south end of the county, of Baldwin County. It's a good thing for our delegation, some stability there when we've got a number of new members coming in to have somebody who's well-respected by leadership and certainly well-respected in the upper chamber and works well with her Senate colleagues. And so that's a good thing for Baldwin County.
I mean, we know it's going to change. We know we're going to have a new governor, and that'll be easily the biggest variable here. But do any of these other elections, to me, Catherine Robertson, I don't expect a whole lot to change from General Marshall. I have no idea what to expect with the lieutenant governor. There's some other offices we could go at commission. We can look at, everything, PSC and whatnot. But the state government, other than the gubernatorial side of things, you'll have a little different look at a minimum.
Well, I think your assessment on the Attorney General's office is spot on. I mean, Catherine's been the chief counsel for General Marshall for the longest time. I mean, it's partly her staff in that office now, and so I expect to see a lot of stability there. The ag commissioner race was interesting. The Alpha endorsement, I think, swayed a lot there. But I think you've not heard the last of Christina Warren McKinnis. She is a bright, shining star, just an innovator, and I think you'll see her either in an administrative position somewhere, or I'm just not sure. But she's a bright star. You'll see her around still. The Lieutenant Governor's going to be interesting. We as the legislature really through some rule changes really took a lot of the authority of that office back for the legislature to have that authority. Still the presiding officer of the Senate, and that's going to be an interesting position for, you know, former Chairman Wall to be in. It's, you know, heavy on the parliamentary procedure and heavy on relationships with individual members, and we'll just have to see how he does in that. I also think that there's still a chance of some residency challenges for him that may or may not pop up. And so we'll have to see how all of that works its way out, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, that one won't go away, that is looming, a residency challenge. But I can you imagine the guy wins the vote and they take it away from him? I mean, where do you go from there? That is hard for me to grasp.
It will be hard for a lot of people to grasp. And so I'm not sure that that's a position that the party wants to be in. It may end up being up to the courts, and it may, you know, it may be disposed of the same way that coaches' residency challenges were and are going to be disposed of, which is, you know, he's found to have, you know, lived in the state and move on. But I think the set of facts is different for John Wall than it is for Coach. And so those are decisions that the party and the courts will make, and we'll just end up kind of living with on the back end.
Well, let me just ask you if your understanding of this, because, and I've had this explained to me, it's not really up to the courts. It'll come down on the legislature. You, this is the argument from some of the Tuberville guys, is you can run for governor. There's no constitutional requirement. Running and ballot access are different from actually being governor or lieutenant governor. So what happens is, and I may need to kind of freshen up on this, it doesn't go to the courts. It comes to the legislature, and the legislature convenes and they establish a commission, a joint commission or something of that, a committee, and they look at all the evidence and they hold the proceedings, and then the entire body determines if it fits the bill of the Alabama Constitution. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's the way it's been explained to me.
Well, you know, this is uncharted territory, and I don't know the answer to that. I'm not going to pretend to know. It's not, you know, that's an obscure part of the Constitution that I don't think has been used before, and so we'll have to research that and figure out what the answer is. I know that those questions linger, and that there are folks like us sitting around kind of talking about how does this work out, and what is the, you know, what is the outcome? That's something that I wish certainly could have been resolved prior to the election, heck, prior to candidacy, is to determine, hey, are you eligible for this or not? So that you don't put the voters in a situation where they feel disenfranchised after the fact, correctly or not, constitutionally or not. It's not a great situation for voters to be in, where they feel like this person's been duly elected, but then is deemed, you know, disqualified, you know, after the fact. That's unfortunate, and that's not good for our public.
No, it's especially if you take it out of the hands of the voters. I mean this will be national headlines if there is a residency challenge, and it's, I guess, it would be adjudicated by the party first. And then the courts may get their say, but, you know, Williams explained to me when they put this in the Constitution in 1901, it was kind of a throwback to Reconstruction, and you had carpetbaggers who came down to Alabama, and they won elected office, and they wanted to protect against something like that from ever happening again, and that's why they put that in there. But, the like I said, it's not about if you can run or not. That's up to the parties. That's up to, I mean, I don't know what the election law says, but the residency part in the Constitution pertains to being governor, pertains to you walking out on the Capitol steps on Inauguration Day, putting your hand on the Bible, being sworn in, and having that transfer of power. Can that power be transferred to that individual?
And this is why I listen to your show, Jeff. I learn stuff too. So that's something we're going to have to go through and figure out how that works and what that looks like.
Because it's going to put you guys in a tough space. I mean, if there is a legitimate case here and we didn't really adjudicate this as voters because it just kind of came out of nowhere. Well, it didn't come out of nowhere. I mean, this had been festering for a while, but it was always kind of dismissed as, no, he believes that he meets the qualifications. And I think the steering committee already looked at both of these one time and said, no, we don't think there's anything there. We're not even going to hear it.
Well, again, that's something that is, if we are charged with making a determination as a legislature, whether that's the body, both chambers or just the Senate, again, I'll have to go look and research that. But if we're charged with doing that, then we'll, discharge the duties of our office and do that and make that decision. I just, again, wish that was not something that was even a question. I wish that we would be certain of those things prior to a candidate announcing his candidacy. Heck, I look at it not all that different than eligibility for the High School Athletic Association, right? Make a determination. Are you going to be able to serve in this spot or not? And not wait till after an election's taken place to end up in a situation where you potentially disqualify somebody after the fact.
It's just the world we live in and the world of the 1901 Constitution, and you see it come up from time to time where – well, we weren't even thinking, like IVF, right? Or, yep. Stuff like that, that we weren't really thinking about this when we put in in the late 1800s, a wrongful death law. And is that a human being or is that a piece of property, those embryos? And so these like laws got to be looked at some point through the lens of a modern Alabamian.
Well, and we certainly have no problem amending the Constitution in Alabama, so maybe it does need to be updated. That's just something we'll have to look at. I apologize for not being better prepared to answer your question.
I bet you're glad you brought it up, but I figured since you brought it up, why not proceed? Hey, historic horse racing seems to, for whatever reason, has been discovered here in Mobile like last week, but this is something you guys have been kind of grappling with for a while. I think what Bobby Singleton tried to make it just outright legal. Now, the push here, and I always kind of scoff at this. Well, we got this loophole with historic horse racing, so let's go ahead and just legalize all gambling so we don't have to use these loopholes. But in the deal there, like, we don't have gambling. Well, not yet, at least. We probably will get it soon. But in the meantime, if you're really worried about these loopholes, you close the loopholes, and historic horse racing is a loophole.
Well, it is, and it's legal in certain counties in Alabama that have specific constitutional amendments that permit it. The issue is that, again, as technology, changes, they have figured out how to make it look like a slot machine, right? And feel like a slot machine and not historic horse racing. And so when that was approved by the voters, it probably looked different than a slot machine. Yet here we are, and it is legal in those areas through a local constitutional amendment. The problem is it conflicts with the state's constitution, and so we are at this impasse. And again, we get back into the details of a gaming bill and a gaming constitutional amendment, and what that ends up saying, and what is legal and what is not. And as is so often the case, it turns into a, who exists now? Do they get to continue to operate? Do you shut them down? Where does the money go? Who wins? Who loses? What does the competition look like if you legalize it further? And then what other types of gaming is allowed? It's a nightmare. I would be perfectly content to never talk about gaming in Alabama again because it's complicated and because it sucks all the oxygen out of the room. And at the end of the day, we have more important things to focus on in my mind, and as long as this is out there, as long as we talk about it, we don't ever get anything else done.
Well, this came up a lot during the AG's race, and like, how do you deal with this? And then the problem, a lot of local prosecutors, district attorney offices, they're just not interested in enforcing the law, cracking down on any of this. They don't even know what's legal and what isn't. And so you lean on the attorney general office, and the problem with that is, well, these are misdemeanors. Do you really want the highest law enforcement office in the land enforcing these misdemeanor, you know, charges here. And because it becomes sort of a lopsided use of resources. When you do have real crime, real problems, real legal issues confronting the state, and it falls on that office to go after these like backroom sort of speakeasy casinos.
Right. And General Marshall's done a fair bit of that. We'll have to see what soon to be General Robertson does with those issues. But you bring up a valid point, and it's one of the reasons that we, in every gaming bill that has existed here recently, there have been increases in penalties for illegal gaming. Right. And so some of those operations that are currently sanctioned by local constitutional amendments have been allowed in current versions of the gaming bill to continue to operate. But what you've seen is significant increases in penalties for other operations that are not operating under the color of law. And so that's always been a component to try to clarify some of that. But make no mistake, in doing that, the legislature is very much picking winners and losers, is stifling competition in that industry, which I, for one, think is an okay thing to do. To the extent gaming exists in Alabama, I don't want it to expand. And so I'm okay with stifling, you know, that type of competition. I don't want broader gaming in Alabama. But that's just me. Others want something very different.
Well, let me interrupt real quick because we're running out of time here. But, you know, at face value, you look at the loopholes here, historic horse racing or whatever, electronic bingo. And it's these entities trying to maneuver around the law. They're operating, they may be operating within the letter of the law, but it's against the spirit of the law. It really is. If they're going to operate that fashion, but you're going to sit down with these same people who are not operating in good faith, I'm convinced, with the state, and try to hammer out and negotiate a some kind of gambling agreement, deal, whatever you want to call it, well, why are you operating? I mean, like, why do these guys get any benefit of the doubt who are operating now when it comes to this issue or when it's going to come up next year if they're doing what they're doing now?
Math. I mean, it's just that simple. It's math. It's if you are going to try to pass a piece of legislation, you have to get the votes to pass it. The question is, how do you achieve those votes? And oftentimes you obtain those votes by working with legislators who represent those areas. And so, you know, we can either continue to do what we're doing right now, which is, you know, this kind of hodgepodge of local constitutional amendments, or we can try to get a bigger handle on this and try to address it from a statewide standpoint. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to placate the senators and representatives that represent those areas in order to get the math to work. Or we can just leave it alone. I'm perfectly fine leaving it alone as well. Again, it takes all the oxygen out of the room. But the answer to your question is math.
Senator, we'll leave it there, but you're always very kind to come on this program. And thanks for coming on today early.
Absolutely. I'll try to do some research and have some better answers on the constitutionality of residency.
Yeah, if it's coming up, it's coming. So I guess we better have that hard discussion we're going to have. But thanks again.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
All right. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5.
There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret is it's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill, see the stars light up the purple sky.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Programming notes, Scott Buttram filling in for me tomorrow. He'll have a lengthy guest roster, I'm sure, but make sure you tune in for that. Majority of voters, or myself included, don't see enough differences between these candidates to matter. Another unnamed texter, Tuberville's worst nightmare is waiting in that Montgomery District Court. Really, you think so? I don't know that. I mean, they've already tried this in another district, and it just who has standing, I guess, is the question. If the courts even hear these kinds of cases, But we'll find out. We'll see how this plays out. We'll know for the future. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Hey, speaking, Jeff, of having standing, how many Americans would have standing in the case that the Supreme Court just decided involving marijuana users and gun ownership?
I saw that, Hamani.
I think it's pretty interesting. You bring up different... I think we're having a conversation. Quinn Hillier's going to join us at 12:30. We'll probably talk some about Steve Nodine. I would just say, I would call it the Kid Rock law. I mean, I've been asking for years, Kid Rock public about both things.
Because it's one's a constitutional right.
That is right, and it can't be taken away so easily. So, yeah, we're getting that conversation. Also, yeah, we will talk about something. You know, I talked about this years ago, the historic horse racing. We'll talk about that on the show as well. This is, you know, time to...
It's not the news. Other states have done it first, and Alabama just recently kind of caught on to it with the way the laws are gone.
Yeah, it's a pretty Bush League way to gamble, but it's there.
It is there, yeah. Got to get out of here. We'll try to do better on Monday. Sorry, Phyllis, forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.